Unsolicited. Unprofessional. It's Podlomatic with Elise and Mackenzie.
Hello, everybody. This is Mackenzie here for another week on Podlomatic.
And I'm Elise in Austin. Oh, shit. You didn't say where you were. Whatever. You can keep that in and double it.
Oh, I love it. Well, if it makes you feel better, I'm in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Are we all just identifying where we live now?
Everyone, no matter where you are right now, just scream where you are. I don't care if you're in the office for whatever reason, in the supermarket, just scream whatever city you're in.
And especially those two people listening in Korea, you guys scream too.
Big shouts out to you guys. I'm so serious.
I mean, I couldn't be more serious, truly.
I want them to shout out exactly where they are. Actually, I'd love for them to tweet at us and let us know where they are.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Mackenzie is the only one with access to the Twitter account, but she'll let me know if you guys tweet at it.
I didn't know you. No, I think I have the login on our logins page.
I don't need that kind of power.
I don't need to be given that sort of authority.
No. That's why I'm also not logged in on the Instagram.
It only takes one mental breakdown before you just accidentally log into the Podlomatic accounts and start tweeting and thinking it's your own
Twitter. Right, or start posting on close friends on the Instagram.
And these people are like, why is the podcast have close friends anyway?
Oh my goodness, I just thought of my problem of the week. It just changed, sorry.
No problem at all. Well, what is your fave of the week?
My favorite of the week is Megan Thee Stallion. That's just it. She's my favorite of the week.
Enough said.
That's all. No one needs any more backstory. Just Megan Thee Stallion.
I saw an amazing, meme that was Megan Thee Stallion with a Russian flag behind her. Mm-hmm. And it said, Megan Thee Stallion.
I saw that.
I was like, my God, leave her alone, everybody.
I know. If only. I mean, she literally just got shot in the foot by Tory Lanez.
Yeah, so everyone.
Who is... pushing 4'9", maybe.
Give her a second to breathe, please.
Seriously, she just started walking again.
Anyone that's calling her a snitch, too, for saying it was Tory Lanez, I will personally come for you.
Well, you know what happened with that, right?
I don't think I know the whole story. What happened?
He shot her in the foot, and she never, confirmed as to if he shot her. And she didn't say anything for a really long time. And then people were teasing her on the internet, being really mean and actually cruel. And she got on live and she talked about how she didn't say that it was Tory Lanez because there were a lot of guns around, I guess. And she's like, I didn't want to invite the police into that situation, not knowing what would happen. You know?
And then everyone came out and called her a snitch.
Right. Even though Tory Lanez literally shot her in the foot. And I don't think Tory Lanez has ever put out one good song.
No, I couldn't name a single song of his if you put a gun to my head and asked me.
Yeah, let's deport him back to Canada. I'm pretty sure he's from Canada.
Good. Leave. Goodbye. There's going to be a lot of Canada talk today, actually. My fave of the week is going to mean nothing to you.
Go ahead. But is it about baseball?
It is.
All right, Adam, you can mute my headphones.
But really quick, the Cubs set a first-time record in the entirety of recorded MLB records. So all of the outfielders hit multiple home runs. And as far as the MLB knows, or it has been written down, that's never happened ever before. So that was kind of cool. And also, my baby Anthony Rizzo kind of started a fight the other day. It didn't end up becoming a fist fight, but he made a bench clearing brawl because these dudes in the dugout wouldn't shut the fuck up. And I'm so proud of him for that.
That's kind of hot.
He's always the nice boy.
Dad, did you hear that? The Cubs. Go Cubs. Mm.
Dad, will you listen now? Your dad.
He was listening. He quoted some things back to me. Advice. Oh yeah. I did get two emails from my dad. The first saying, am I going to get sued? And the second one telling me how much money I'm not going to make from this. I'm not kidding.
At least he's supportive.
I mean,
he's okay. First of all, you're not going to make money from this. And second of all, you're going to lose money because someone's going to come up and sue your ass.
I hope Ellen sues us. What great publicity that would be.
Well, I mean, you know what they say? All press is good press.
Right. I totally agree.
So what is your fave this, or sorry, we just did our faves. What is your prob this week?
My problem was I went home to make lunch today and I was making avocado toast with eggs and I was making the eggs and I went to put pepper in it and I turned the pepper thing over. The lid came off and I spilled the entire bottle of pepper into my lunch. And I was already having a hard day and I nearly looked at this and I was like, all right. Did I murder someone in a past life? What am I repenting for? I would love to know. God.
Is this a sign I'm just supposed to walk into traffic right now?
Right. I was like, go ahead, tie the noose for me.
I did see that on your story and I was just like, oh God, that's the worst. That happened to me once when I was making chicken one night. I went to go put dried thyme in it. And I turned it upside down and there was no stopper on it. Like one of my roommates or something had gotten thrown away or fallen off or something. And like the entire bottle of thyme went all over my chicken and into my marinade. And I was like, well,
it's so disheartening. It's so disheartening. It's like I literally just grabbed the pan and then I turned it upside down in the trash can. I was like, so this is lunch.
Did you do a round two of eggs or you just had your avocado toast sans eggs?
I did do a round two of eggs. Thankfully, I was, packing eggs. So
I was gonna thankfully, you were fully stocked on eggs.
Thankfully, you can't really buy one off eggs. So I had enough of them to start again.
The closest you can get to that are the little six packs of eggs. But then those go way too quick.
Right. And then those feel like special eggs. Like you would only want to fry them probably.
Yeah, I guess, because if you scrambled them, you could only do like two or three batches.
Exactly. But if you fry like one good egg, then like the egg becomes the star of the meal. A lot of egg talk here.
So much egg talk. I hope everyone... Sorry, vegans.
Okay, Mackenzie, is your problem of the week also eggs?
My problem of the week is not eggs. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be feeling this one with me as well. My prob of the week is Chadwick Boseman is dead at 43 from colon cancer that he's been fighting for 4 years and nobody knew about it.
Yeah, it's really, really sad.
It's so sad. I don't want to bum everyone out right before we start, but
I think, no, you were the one who told me because I think I texted you. It was like late Friday night and you were like, I was like texting about something extremely urgent that's been going on in my personal life that I needed advice on. And she was like, Chadwick Boseman died. Don't text, period. Then didn't talk to me the rest of the night. That's all she said.
Elise texted me, hi, period. And I literally said,
oh, no, I sent you screenshots. I did not say hi, period.
No, I didn't get any screenshots. I only got hi, period.
I didn't send you the screenshots to which
no,
I was having a meltdown about.
I have no idea
about
what you're talking about.
All right, we'll talk post-pod.
Maybe you were in the process of sending screenshots, but I got high period, and I think I was on my phone because I just found out that he died, and I texted her, Chadwick Boseman is dead, don't text. And then she texted me, and she's like, what the fuck, are you serious? And I said, I'm serious, don't text. I was like, I couldn't be more fucking serious. I can't handle this right now.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't send you the screenshots after this.
No. Please do. I want to know what's going on with you, of course.
Okay. All right, Mackenzie, it's your week since we did, a twofer for me. So what are we going to be talking about this week?
So this week, a little hint to the episode that disappeared into the void. It was a brand and I felt as though we still needed to do a brand, to mix it up, get a little variety in our library. So this week we are going to be talking about Lululemon. So when I say Lululemon, what are some of your initial thoughts and personal experiences that come to mind?
Honestly, when I think about Lululemon, obviously I think about just workout clothes that everyone wears. But I really think about how all the 13-year-olds get to wear leggings and sports bras to work out in and how I had to wear basketball shorts past my knees and big t-shirts and look like the most unsexy high schooler. Not that high schoolers should be dressed sexy or middle schoolers, but at least the 14-year-olds now get to flex. And I had to wear literal basketball shorts and jerseys like those,
pennies.
Those mesh, yes, pennies. Oh, it couldn't have been a less attractive look, truly.
It was really bad. And no, I'm so serious. I have two stepsisters that are a lot younger than me. They're in high school right now. So One of them is like, yeah, 14 or 15. And they straight up wear like the cutest stuff. And they have so much Lululemon. And I'm just like, wow, Lululemon makes me think of like the mean girls in high school because their moms would buy them like closets full of Lululemon stuff. And I was lucky if I got like one pair for Christmas.
We weren't allowed to wear leggings or anything to school. So no one really got to like sport their Lulu at school. But I was living in such a small town where there wasn't a Lululemon store. So it wasn't the same, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess that's true. There is a Lulu in Tulsa. I think it's been there for a long time, too. But I just remember, like, bitches would come, like, head to toe. And I don't think we were technically allowed to wear leggings either, but everyone did anyway. And it was just a gamble on if you got in trouble or not.
Yeah, I got in-school suspension enough. I didn't need to push it with, you know, clothing violations.
Well, so Lululemon was founded in 1998 by Chip Wilson. And you know, he began taking yoga classes in the late 90s. And during this time, he saw that fabrics being used to make yoga apparel were completely wrong, like specifically cotton. He was like, cotton doesn't make sense for yoga. And so he decided to create technical athletic fabrics that better suited the practice of yoga. And so in 1998, he opened a design studio by day, yoga studio by night. So during the day, he'd be creating these yoga-centric designs. And then at night, the yoga classes would be taught in the same studio. And like anything they made from the yoga classes is essentially how he kept the lights on.
Well, what were people wearing in yoga classes? Like spandex?
It sounds like they were wearing like cotton t-shirts and maybe like basketball shorts. I don't know. The whole
basketball
thing is
shorts?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe like tights, but I feel like even in the 80s when people were wearing tights, they were really sweaty. Like they weren't good for exercising in.
Yeah, but they still exercised in them. I have a hard time believing that the whole class was like ready for, you know, 2-on-2.
True. But as far as I can tell, there was like a lot of cotton involved. And he was just like, that's not good because you get sweaty, it sticks to you and all that stuff. So he began selling his designs to yoga instructors like around Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And he would ask them for their feedback. So that was one reason why they got really popular really fast is because he actually listened to the people who were going to be wearing them and practicing in them.
When I think of what people wore in yoga classes like in the 90s, 80s, I think about Jane Fonda. Seriously, that would be what I would guess for that they would wear because she dominated the 80s workout scene.
She really did. What a queen.
That's what Outdoor Voices is modeled after.
Jane Fonda, really? I didn't know that.
Or
actually.
She's not modeled. That modeled after is the wrong word. She's an inspiration for Tahini.
She's their muse.
Exactly.
So when the designs were ready, Wilson opened Lululemon's first independent store in 2000. And, quote, the idea was to have the store be a community hub where people would learn and discuss the physical aspects of healthy living from yoga and diet to running and cycling, as well as the mental aspects of living a powerful life of possibilities. However, the store became so busy that the concept of it becoming like a hub for the community couldn't really work anymore. Mm-hmm. At least it was like so busy in there, they couldn't really sell the products. So Wilson came up with a training method where the salespeople were just so educated on the products that their descriptions and knowledge of the technical attributes of the garments would like sell the garments for themselves. Mm-hmm. So they actually call salespeople at Lululemon educators because that's supposed to be their whole thing.
I do know that. I also know quite a few people that have worked there. I know some people that have managed them and people have been through the interview process, which is all very interesting, but I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yeah, I would actually love to hear your, once we get there, I'm going to ask your what you've heard, because I think it'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, we're going to dive into some of the issues. So founder and former CEO Chip Wilson, the guy I mentioned earlier, I think there's one important thing that I need to mention to provide context for everything that he does. So he's literally the dude that got obsessed with one book in high school and never shut the fuck up about it. He loves the Russian author Ayn Rand, and specifically he connected with her best-selling book Atlas Shrugged. So to completely
I'm fine. Sorry, I had to laugh, but go ahead.
No, yeah, it's pretty laughable. So to water it down as much as possible, in her writings, Ayn Rand develops the philosophical theory of objectivism, which is the concept of man as a heroic being with his own happiness as the moral purpose of his life. So aka your self-interest comes before everything else, always.
Isn't it like isn't that like Republican porn? That's what I always assumed Atlas Shrugged was, right?
I think, I mean, not to put all the Republicans in a box, but no, I would say yes.
You know what I'm trying to say.
No, I know what you're
There's
saying.
There's a lot of liberal porn out there. I have no problem calling that out as well.
No, I think you're right, because the whole thing is it like dismisses altruism. It's like, you should be able to, and there's a lot of like pull yourself up by your bootstraps connected with it. And no, I completely think you're right on with that observation.
I think my producer has a copy within, you know, reaching distance, honestly. I'm not joking.
I was like, did he just pick that up right now? So Chip Wilson believes in Rand's philosophy so much that the Lululemon website previously had a webpage devoted to her, as well as many blog post entries that he made about her. And the last thing I'm going to say is that Wilson also references the character from the book John Galt. So the opening line of the book is, "Who is John Galt?" And both in the book and real life, it's become a phrase used when the world is in a state of anguish and disorder. So in Atlas Shrugged, John Galt is an inventor, a philosopher who believes, quote, in the power and glory of the human mind and the rights of individuals to use their minds solely for themselves. So you can just imagine how unbearable this Chip Wilson guy is.
I mean, truly. Do you want me to grab the book and we could just read through it for the rest of the episode?
The whole episode is us going to be reading this 1,100-page poorly. I heard the plot is like horrific. I was reading an article. Someone was like, and a plot, if you're going to be generous, if you're going to be generous enough to call it a plot. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's just a horrific read. I know I just threw a lot at you, but I think knowing all of that is very important to hear about all this bullshit this man does throughout the next hour or however long this thing is. So. Now, let's go back to the year 2005. So this was a big year for Chip Wilson from the standpoint of no longer being CEO and saying horrible things. So let's start with racism.
But whatever you do, don't call this alpha dog sexist. He's way more than that. For instance, he's also racist. He said that he chose a brand name with a lot of L's in it as a marketing tool because the sound didn't exist in Japanese phonetics, telling one journalist, it's funny to watch them try and say it.
Yeah, Chip sounds like a real dick.
Right? And he said that he used to work for, he said, the reason the Japanese liked my former skateboard brand Homeless was because it had an L in it.
Sorry. His former skateboarding brand was called Homeless?
Yes. We're going to skate right past that.
We're going to ollie right past that one.
We're going to half pipe right over that hoe and keep going.
I just snorted on the pod. No.
I snort all the time in real life, so it's okay. The reason the Japanese liked my former skateboard brand Homeless was because it had an L in it, and a Japanese marketing firm wouldn't come up with a brand name that had an L in it. It's not in their vocabulary. So I thought the next time I have a company, I'll make the name with three L's and see if I can make three times the money. It's kind of exotic for them.
What a dip.
Does that not sound like a Trump quote?
I mean, it sounds like a Chip Wilson quote, which who, like, if someone was like, Chip Wilson's running for senator, I'd be like, I bet. Like, Chip Wilson sounds like a politician's name.
He really does. He does sound like a politician.
But he sounds like a fake politician's name, like a movie politician name, or like, yeah. I don't know.
No, I totally get that. So that's the first thing that he does in 2005. The next thing is that he goes to a conference called the Business Alliance of Local Living Economies, and he begins to defend offshore manufacturing, specifically child labor. He said, quote, I look at it the same way that the World Trade Organization does it, and that is that the single easiest way to spread wealth around the world is to have the poorest countries pull themselves out of poverty. However, while he's campaigning for child labor, he failed to mention anything about the conditions the kids would be working in, how much they would get paid, if they would even be offered education, you know, like during this. And to me, you know, let's not forget this whole man's thing is acting in your own self-interest. He doesn't give a fuck about spreading wealth around the world.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds more like to me that he wants to prevent class mobility, not spread wealth around the world. He's like, let's keep these children as poor as possible and make sure everyone else is in, not even everyone else is in Lululemon, like upper middle class are in Lululemon.
No, yeah, I totally
And while
agree.
I pay them pennies, which is my assumption of what he's paying them.
Oh, I'm sure. And you know what? He made all this stuff about how great child labor is. And then, who, you know, it turned...
Who says how great... The fact you have to even say Chip Wilson just wrote a lot about how great child labor is.
Seriously. Nowadays, it's just about, you know, like low wages. He's talking about literal children. It's not even adults working for low wages. It's children working in who knows what kinds of conditions. Who even knows how much money they're even making for this? It's got to be horrible.
Mm.
But as I'm sure maybe some of you are ahead of me, but all of this was said at a time when they were planning to move half of their production to China. So he's just trying to spread like positive propaganda about child labor. So when they move to China, he could be like, oh, but it's fine. It's all good. Remember all that stuff I said?
Positive propaganda about child labor. Put that on his tombstone.
Please do. And, you know, when people were asking about him moving to China, because, you know, there's supposed to be this whole like fair labor and they boast about ethics. And but now they're moving to China. And he literally in a article is like, don't worry. Like, I went to go visit the factory. It's fine. It's not like a sweatshop at all. I'm like, okay,
it's not like a sweatshop at all.
Don't worry. He seriously. And also, I don't feel comfortable like saying it, but he used the term the Orient multiple times in that article.
Gross.
And I was just like, oh, how out of date can you be? This man's only like 63. He's not that old.
I don't think I've said the word Oriental in ever. That's the first time. This is it.
I think the only acceptable way to say it now is if you're discussing a rug. I think that's the only way.
Yeah, I agree.
So on the final stop on his Let's Say Fucked Up Shit in 2005 tour, he was asked why the largest size that Lululemon held was a 12. And he essentially said it costs too much. According to the Huffington Post, apparently he understood the issue, but that it costs 30% more to manufacture those larger sizes. So too bad.
Right. Look, don't even get me started on Lululemon sizing, too.
He literally said, quote, it's a money loser for sure. I understand their plight, but it's tough. He essentially just says tough shit.
I know. He's like, but he's like, we're willing to make XXXXX small.
Yeah. No, seriously.
He's like, I've got leggings for your fetus.
You know, these are supposed to be for a full size human, but the only thing it could possibly fit would be a 4-pound chihuahua or an unborn fetus.
Right. Forget about clothing the entire world. Let's clothe like children.
In May of 2006, Lululemon announces a new line of products called Vita-C. What made these products different from the regular line is that their fabric was made from seaweed. So at the time, it wasn't a far cry from the other products they made because they had stuff from soybeans and bamboo and stuff like that. But according to Lululemon, the Vita-C fabric, quote, releases marine amino acid minerals and vitamins into the skin upon moisture. So I guess you're just supposed to wear these leggings and they're supposed to...
Are you supposed to become a mermaid? If you wear them, if you sleep in them, you'll wake up with flippers.
Yeah, if you sleep in a hot room and the moisture starts to come out of your pores, you'll just wake up as Ariel.
Right, you can H2O it, or what's the other movie? Aquamarine.
Aquamarine.
You can crawl into a water tank. If you sleep in a water tank in the leggings.
There you go, it's perfect. And a New York Times article stated that Lulu also claimed that the fabric, quote, reduces stress, provides provides anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, hydrating, and detoxifying benefits. How is that even possible from wearing pants?
I mean, I want a wetsuit if that's what's happening.
So put a pin in Vitasea products, because we're going to get back to all of those claims that they're making about the benefits. But let's move on to the next year in July 2007. So Lululemon goes public on the stock market. They perform well on Wall Street, and the stocks climb from beginning at $25 a share, and they launch to $60 a share within just like 3 months. But then in November of 2007, the New York Times writes an article about the Vitasea clothing. So they took clothing from this line that's supposed to have the seaweed in it. They send it to a lab and they test it to see how much seaweed is actually in the garments. So
is it edible? Label,
yeah. Can we just eat it? Like those little seaweed chips you can get at Trader Joe's.
I could have had it for lunch instead of my eggs.
So the label on the shirt that they tested claimed that it was 70% cotton, 24% seaweed, and 6% spandex.
How wild. I cannot imagine. I'm sorry. Looking at my clothing label, it's like 25% seaweed. That's so granola. People would love that shit today. That's so like granola.
Well, it would be nice if they still had them. But however, after testing it, they found, quote, there was no significant difference in mineral levels between the Vitasea fabric and cotton t-shirts.
So was there seaweed in it at all?
It said that they couldn't rule out the that seaweed was in it, but they also couldn't prove it.
You know what
they said?
I want?
It was like such a small amount that they couldn't even find any. But they couldn't rule out that, you know, they were like, well, we can't prove there's for sure none, but we're like 99.99999% sure that there's not.
Do you remember all those old videos on the Food Network where it was like, how is this made? And they would do it about like Twinkies. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, it was the dessert one about and it had like Don, his name was like something Summers. That guy was the best.
Yeah, he was great. I want one on in the Lululemon Child Factory with the Vitasea clothing.
Yeah, seriously. Well, and so Lulu tries to say like, oh, well, the fabric suppliers told us that they had seaweed in it. And although we didn't test it, like, you know, we trusted them and it's not our fault. But it's like, if you're gonna buy this and market it as a seaweed fabric, how are you just not going to take the time to test it or run a quality check?
Because they got the green light, so they were like, fuck it.
Yeah, seriously. So as a result from this debacle, their stocks dropped from $60 a share to $42 a share, which is yikes.
I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about the stock market, but yikes.
Well, they started off, so July of that year, they started at $25 a share. By October, they were at 60. And then in November, they dropped back down to 42.
Right. So negatives, bad.
And especially for when they had just launched, they just got onto the stock market like a couple of months before.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, I don't know. So I'm asking into the void, what would be the price point for a stock that's deemed super valuable over, like, I wonder what the mark is.
I have no idea. I'm not going to pretend like I know.
Neither do I. I just throwing that one out there.
Someone tweet at us and call us dumbasses and tell us.
Oh, please do. Invalidate my degree, please.
So in 2009, Chip Wilson wrote a blog post describing how the brand began. However, the post is filled with misogynistic comments about how the liberation of women led to higher divorce rates and breast cancer.
Back in 2009, he offered a unique take on women's history, writing, in the early 1970s, the pill came into being. Women's lives changed immediately. Females no longer had to make relationships work. Men's lives didn't change, however, and they continued to search for a stay-at-home wife like their mothers. Men did not know how to relate to the new female. Thus came the era of divorces. You hear that, ladies? Divorce is your fault because you got the pill, allowing you to have all kinds of carefree sex, every husband's nightmare.
Yeah, it sounds like every divorce I know.
I just don't understand how he thinks women getting the pill and being liberated leads to divorces.
I mean, they're not even sort of correlated. Like, not I can't even draw all. Like a single connection in between the two.
Well, and actually, sorry, there are a lot of quotes this episode because everything this man says is batshit. So this is what Stephen Colbert just quoted is from a blog post. Also, by the way, I'm fairly sure he's posting these blog posts like on the Lululemon site because they're not there anymore. But a lot of the older articles I was reading like had a link that took me to the Lulu site. And it's like, oh, sorry, this page doesn't exist anymore. So not only is this man saying these things, he's putting them on the Lululemon website.
Dude, the late 2000, like 10s or whatever, or the 2000s, buck wild times. The internet, seriously, people would blog and just write whatever the hell came into their head. I mean, so did I on Tumblr in 2013, but granted, I was, what, 13? Not 13, yeah, I was 16, yikes.
This man was a full grown person in 2009.
No, a full ass adult man.
So the next thing he says is, quote, breast cancer also came into the prominence in the 1990s. I suggest this was due to a number of cigarette smoking power women who were on the pill. Initial concentrations of hormones in the pill were very high and taking on stress previously left to men in the working world. So women started getting breast cancer because of cigarettes, the pill, and working.
Okay. I can't even entertain that comment, truly. Women started working, and he's like, you got breast cancer because you started working. And then you got stressed and smoked cigarettes, which also made you get breast cancer. So my solution is you just stay home, don't ever have sex with anyone ever, and, you know, you won't get breast cancer. And don't look at a cigarette.
He wants every woman to be Ben Shapiro's wife.
I know more about Ben Shapiro's sex life than about, I don't want to say my own or my parents, so I want to stop there.
We'll just stop there. One of my favorite things that I saw on Twitter, I think a week ago, was everything I know about Ben Shapiro's sex life, I know against my will.
Right. It's like someone is throwing information at you and you don't want it.
We did not Google Ben Shapiro's sex life one day. He just started blabbing it off to everybody.
Not a single person asked about his sex life. I know that for a fact that not a single person asked.
The last thing that he says in this blog post is that, remember, the whole thing he started this was because he's talking about how Lululemon became a brand. That's where he's saying all this bullshit. So the last quote for this post is, quote, Lululemon was formed because female education levels, breast cancer, yoga athletics, and the desire to dress feminine all came together in one. What does that mean?
I don't know. It just sounds like he's shouting words out of his ass now.
I just don't even know what he's talking about. Like, again, not only does none of that correlate to breast cancer or divorces, but how does that represent your brand? I have no idea what he's talking about here.
It's hard, honestly, even to read him because those statements are so idiotic that it doesn't even need, like, he doesn't even deserve a good read.
No, he really doesn't. It's just like, don't even give him the time of day.
Yeah, I'm not going to open the library for Chip Wilson.
In 2011, Chip Wilson began printing the phrase, "Who is John Galt?" on the Lululemon shopping bags. And people were not happy. So this is the phrase that I was talking about earlier, where when people use it, it kind of means like the world is in a state of anguish or, you know, despair. And people were not happy, mainly because when these bags started being distributed, the Occupy Wall Street encampment in Zuccotti Park had just been dispersed. So a lot of people thought that his message of who is John Galt was kind of like a response to the Occupy movement. And since John Galt's ideologies were very individualistic and dismissed altruism, the message he's essentially spreading is like a criticism of the Occupy movement because he believes that people should be able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And the Occupy movement is all about decreasing wealth inequality.
What year was this?
2011.
That's still pretty bold. I just associate Atlas Shrugged so much with politics, and it feels like a very bold political statement, even if he doesn't associate with politics, which I would beg to differ. I bet he does.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of wild for 2011 to be so blatant.
Yeah, and so the encampment was almost exactly 2 months long, from October to November was when they were in Zuccotti Park. And in I think it was literally like a week or two after they'd been dispersed from the park forcefully. Yeah, I shouldn't say dispersed. They were forced out of the park by police. Mm-hmm. He starts posting these, or he starts putting "Who is John Galt" on all these bags. By the way, he did not tell the CEO he was going to do this. He just did it.
And he's the owner, correct?
He was the founder. So at this point, he's like a chief creative officer or some bullshit like that.
Gotcha.
So I guess that would fall under, you know, the bags and the designs on the bags. So he put that on all the bags and like didn't clear it with anyone in the brand.
Right. And there was no one to check him.
Yeah, there was no one to check him. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the people were really upset about the bags. New York Times quoted one customer who said they were shocked by the message and they actually walked back to return the, quote, horrific bag, and that they found the statement inflammatory and offensive, which, yeah, the timing could not be worse.
I would beg to differ that 95% of the people saw the bag and were like, who the hell is John Galt? And then got home, Googled it and was like, oh, fuck, and had to go back to the store.
No, seriously. Or you just throw it away. You're like, I don't want to be walking around. So that was the thing. Like, if people even looked it up, but if they didn't look it up, then he was essentially using his customers as, they didn't even know they were being involved in this spread of, I don't know, propaganda or his message, I guess. So they were just unknowingly walking around spreading his message and like they weren't able to consent to it or anything.
This is totally separate and is not the same as John Galt. And I know that these are not correlated, but did you know that there's a Bible verse on the bottom of Forever 21 bags?
I feel like I forgot that.
It's like Matthew something or something like that. I'm not versed in the Bible, but it's like, what is that? Scripture. Yeah.
A verse.
It's a Bible verse. Thank you.
So, of course, Lululemon has to try and like clean all this shit up. So they had to post on their website and they essentially, so they said, Chip Wilson first read Atlas Shrugged when he was 18 years old. Only later, looking back, did he realize the impact the book's ideology had on his quest to elevate the world from mediocrity to greatness. This is not coincidental that this is the Lululemon's company vision. Our bags are visual reminders for ourselves to live a life we love and conquer the epidemic of mediocrity.
I'm triggered.
The whole thing is just like, it's all very culty and like, oh, we're just doing this thing that's so great for everyone. We just want everyone to live this amazing life of greatness. When in reality, like, what are they really doing to make anybody great?
Right. Except charging you $120 for a pair of leggings that don't even have seaweed in them.
No seaweed. Sans seaweed.
If I can't eat them, then what's the point?
Right. So following this incident in January of 2012, Wilson, quote, retired from his position as chief innovation and branding officer. You know, they were like, dude, you gotta leave or we're gonna just keep getting in trouble. But you can still be the chairman of the board of directors. So you're just essentially losing, I guess, his salary, but he still gets to sit on the board.
Yeah, he gets a safe face or still have some kind of voting power.
So in March of 2013, more trouble hits Lululemon.
Yoga pants are being recalled for being too see-through. The recall involves pants using the signature fabric Luon. It's a combination of nylon and lycra. This is 17% of all Lululemon bottoms.
Some customers have noticed that their workouts are looking a little more like a peep show, saying that Lululemon's pants are see-through, leaving little to the imagination.
Now the company is getting complaints about two other styles of pants. Customers say they're scratchy, pilling, and once again, see-through.
That's right. Lululemon recalled its transparent yoga pants for women, which caused a huge drop in its stock price.
So, do you remember when the see-through Lululemon pants got recalled? Because I do.
I don't remember when the see-through Lululemons got recalled. I do remember my knockoff Marshalls leggings absolutely being see-through. But I would be fire pissed if I spent $120 on a pair of leggings and them be see-through. If that's not what I purchased them for. If I purchase see-through leggings, then I'm expecting them to be see-through.
Right. No, and that was the main thing that everyone was pissed about was we're paying all this money for these products and they're not holding up to the quality. So they kind of mentioned at the end how, you know, some of the yoga pants were pilling and they were scratchy. And so even apart from the see-through, a lot of people were just very upset. Like, we're paying all this money for these products and they're not lasting as long as they should. So this recall was crazy. 17% of all of their bottoms, like all of the clothing that they had in stock, had to be recalled because they all were made out of this defective fabric. So 17% of all the products that they had to be recalled. They were pulled from the stores. They were pulled from online. And I think they were available for sale for 2 weeks or almost right around that. And so they had to tell everyone, like, hey, if you've come in and bought these pants, you know, come return them, whatever. And actually, according to a New York Times article, they said there were some reports that some women, when they were going to return the pants, they were asked to put them on and bend over to prove they were actually see-through.
That's insane. I just want to make a point. Anyone who's ever owned anything Lululemon has accidentally put that shit in the dryer, it's game over. It pills immediately. Anytime.
It really does.
It's like, I have done that before where I'm just like, you know, throwing my stuff into the dryer and then I'm folding my clothes and I'm like, well, there goes, like, there's the first pilling, which means it's game over for my pair of leggings. Like, it's done for. So much so that, so we'll get into this later with my insider information. I used to work with someone who was a manager of Lululemon. And one time I brought these leggings in. I was like, I used to work at a fitness studio. And I was like, I'm going to go work out in them. And he was like, those are lounge leggings. You can't exercise or walk in those. Those leggings are for purely, like, either pregnant people to just sit down in or for you to do nothing in. He's like, you can't You can't work out in the leggings you bought to work out in, which are literally branded as yoga leggings.
I guarantee, too, it's like in really tiny, tiny fine print on those fucking, like, books of tags that you get attached on it. There's always like a flip. There's like multiple things you have to flip.
Right. And they're
through.
Like, hand wash in -30 degree water. Don't let it touch soap and then lay flat to dry, but make sure you flip it over 6 times.
No, seriously. There's so many rules. And I really can't imagine anything more horrifying than getting the courage to step into a gym and then, like, literally everyone can see everything.
Or I can't even imagine how humiliating it is to be like, I need to return these because they're see-through. And they're like, could you put them on and bend over for the entire front desk?
Dude, it's utterly disgusting. And I'm just imagining, like, some assholes that work at the store are just, like, fucking with people. Like, I would assume maybe a manager didn't tell them to do that. And it was just sales associates being assholes. But either way, like, that's just so ridiculous, especially if the company has already come out and said, hey, we're recalling this. Why do people now have to prove that that's a problem? You know it's a problem.
I also know that we're going to get to this, but I can definitely believe it. I've got some beef with some of the Lululemon locations here that I specifically avoid because their staff is not very kind.
In November of 2013, founder Chip Wilson addresses the complaints that yoga pants were pilling after only a few uses.
Frankly, some women's bodies just actually don't work for it. And I can't be.
They don't work for the pants?
No, they don't work for certain, some women's bodies. It's, you know, really about the rubbing through the thighs, how much pressure is there.
That's right. The Lululemon CEO thinks if his product is defective, it's your fault.
I want Chip Wilson to put on these leggings and be in every single ad.
I know. I'm like, here's the other thing. It's like, what? Women whose thighs touch aren't supposed to wear it. He talks about, like, the rubbing of the thighs. It's like, there's a very small percentage of women whose thighs don't touch.
Right. And Chip Wilson, let me see your thigh gap. Seriously.
It's so true. He's a very, like, meaty person.
I'm sure he is. I have this image that he looks like someone we discussed before whose name I can't say on the podcast because I'm afraid of being cursed. I think if we even whisper it, I'm afraid that he'll come for us.
Well, I don't know who you're referencing, but I if you're going to name someone he looks like, I was going to say Alex Jones. And we have talked about him on the show.
I was going to say Dave Portney.
He doesn't look like him.
Okay, that's just what I haven't looked up a picture of him, but, like, that name's cursed. I feel like once you whisper it, like, if you whisper it in the woods, he hears it, and then he's gonna
come for us.
Oh, probably.
But no, he gives me major Alex Jones vibes. And so in that clip, it's like, not only is he trying to deflect the blame that, oh, it's not our fault. But once again, claim, like, essentially saying the brand is not for plus size women, or I would argue regular size women whose thighs touch. So after he, you know, essentially says plus size women shouldn't be wearing his clothes, he's kind of forced to release an apology video, and it is very bizarre. It garnered even more negative attention for them.
I'm sad. I'm really sad. I'm sad for the people of Lululemon who I care so much about. I take responsibility for all that has occurred and the impact it has had on you. I'm sorry to have put you all through this.
You hear that, ladies? Chip Wilson is sad that your chafing ham hocks made him put his employees through this difficult time. That still wasn't enough for the hounds in the media.
No apparent apology to customers. No explanation at all.
From a marketing standpoint, Chip Wilson's apology is kind of a disaster. Seems like he's sort of saying, I'm sorry that I got caught, but he doesn't seem sorry that he said it.
Some are now calling it the worst I'm sorry ever.
The worst I'm sorry ever.
His publicist typed that up in under 10 seconds and was like, just say you're sorry.
He literally says, I'm sad. I'm sad. I'm really sad.
I'm going to start sending that to people when I need to apologize.
Just send the video.
I'm sad. God. I'm sad. I'm really sad. And I'm sorry.
I'm sorry that I'm sorry I hurt. I think he says, like, I'm sorry I hurt you. He's not like, I'm sorry that I said this. He's just like, sorry that. Sorry, fatties. Like, I don't, what is he trying to say?
And he doesn't even say, like, specifically what he's sorry about. He's not even addressing what he said was wrong or that he doesn't believe that. He's just like, oh, twist my arm. I'm sorry. I'm still not going to make a big enough size for you. I'm sorry, but, you know, sorry, fatties.
Even it would have been better if he typed that out too into like his iPhone notes and just screenshotted it than saying it, because he sounds so uncomfortable and so like disingenuous even just saying the words I'm sorry.
I love an iOS press release.
It's the best. I saw something on Twitter that was like, you know, when the iOS notes app sees a celebrity open it up, and it was like some meme of it like freaking out, like, oh god, don't do it.
I know, iOS press releases are the new, you know, the new wave on Instagram.
You know that actual like PR people must hate that, because they're just going completely around them. They're going rogue.
Or what happened was their publicist texted them like bullet points on what to say, and they just like, you know, copy pasted into a pre-made apology format.
Seriously. And following his not iOS press release, following his weird ass video and his insensitive comments, he, quote, stepped down as chairman of the board the very next month, which is essentially them saying, like, dude, we gave you a chance. We, you know, bumped you down the first time to chairman of the board, but now you're still fucking us over. So we got to cut ties with you. Peace out.
A little bear hug situation.
A little bear hug, but don't worry, he still owns like so much Lululemon stock. It's not even funny. So at the same time, Lululemon was experiencing operational problems. And in January of 2014, Lululemon replaced their CEO, Christine M. Day, with Laurent Padovan, who was the former president of Toms. So, you know, here they are. They're trying to say like, hey, you know, we've lied to you about our products. We've sold you see-through pants. We've continued to employ a horrible human being. But look, like, we're changing things. Stuff's changing here. We promise.
Mackenzie, expose yourself. Did you ever buy Toms?
I think my mom bought me one pair of Toms. They were sparkly and silver.
Classic.
And I was in sixth grade, fifth grade.
They look like the strangest shoes to me.
Dude, they're so crazy. Did you ever own any?
I didn't. You know, and I also never owned Sperry's, so you can keep that on the record.
I did never own.
I did not. Okay.
Preppy day at school for like Spirit Week, I was like, Brittany, I asked my sister, I was like, Brittany, give me those fucking Sperry's. I'm about to expose
you're like,
you.
Give me that Lacoste polo and those fucking Sperry's, please.
You preppy bitch, give me your items and I'm going to go make fun of you all day wearing them.
I'm going to wear them as a joke, as a costume. Please
just
let me
so
borrow
you
them.
Fully know, I'm wearing these ironically.
This is is out of disrespect.
Dude, I used to steal my sister's shit all the time. Did you do that too?
Oh, yeah. And then she'd catch me. I would, like, we'd get home from school at different times, but if, like, I wouldn't change fast enough, or she would catch me at school and she'd be like, take those fucking shoes off. And I'd be like, we're in the middle of the hallway.
I remember multiple times, like, having my sister drive me somewhere and I would have on, like, her shirt. So I'd just put another shirt over it so that way she could drive me where I wanted to go. And then when I got there, I'd take off, like, the fake shirt and just wear her shirt all night.
I know. And now
I'd post a picture in her shirt and she'd be like, bitch.
Yeah. And now with, like, Instagram stories and everything, I feel like it's got to be even more cutthroat. You could clock that. You got to either be more secretive, or you've just, I mean, I bet people are more diligent because you could clock those shoes. All they had to do is, like, swipe the camera by and you'd be like, I know those sneakers.
Dude, the kids these days, you know, they got their siblings, like, they take their siblings on and off of being blocked from their stories. The hide story.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Constantly. So in July 2015, an anonymous article was posted on Jezebel.com that describes one's experience working for the company. So the author of this article was a previous educator. As we said, that's what they call the salespeople. And so he or she, we don't know. I guess maybe I'll just call her a she so it's easier to talk about. But we don't know the gender or preferred pronouns of this person. So I'm just going to say her, and she's anonymous. So she stated that Lulu had a high turnover rate, both in stores and on higher level management, which honestly kind of checks out. What were some of, like, you said, you know, people that worked at stores. Did this kind of seem true? Like, people kind of cycled in and out?
I think yes. I think quote unquote disposables cycle in and out, but they like to keep on, they like to hold on to their staff. Everyone I know that has worked there for a really, really long time. But everyone I know that worked there has obviously left, so they stopped drinking the Kool-Aid at a certain point.
Right. I imagine walking in at your first day working as an educator at a Lululemon store is very similar to the culture of selling sunset, where you walk into the office and it's all these people that, like, are so tight knit and whatever, they're just going to immediately be mean to you because they're like, you're a new person, we need to protect our own.
Well, their interview process is even really interesting. Their first interview is a group interview.
So, like, they have multiple, like, you know, potential people come in to interview for the same position.
Well, they sit, or there's in a
multiple
circle.
People interviewing.
They sit
you.
In a circle together and they interview everyone in front of each other.
Oh god, that's so awkward.
It's like game, like it's like introduce yourself games in college, even in Ooh. High school. Yeah. And then they ask you, they kind of throw hardball questions at you in front of everyone and force you to answer.
Honestly, that sounds kind of on point with this, because the next thing that I have is that I'm just going to read this quote. I'm going to read a lot of quotes from this article because this person has a lot of very good experiences. So the first quote is, you get constant feedback and, quote, coaching, which means that you're scrutinized from the moment you walk in the door till the moment you leave. If you're in a bad mood when you walk in, you have to do a clearing, which is this neo-spiritual way of making you say whatever is going on in your life, and then someone coaches you how to get over it.
I can confirm that happens.
That seems like, I don't know, like privacy violations.
Well, I guess if you came in a bad mood, like any time ever, you were forced to literally either you got to get over it or you got to voice it out loud. You can't bring your negative energy into a Lululemon story, even though I beg to differ that like 90% of the energy in a Lululemon is a little negative.
I was going to say that as well. And it actually kind of makes sense because they kind of carry over the Ayn Rand ideology. She makes a comeback. So the former employee says that the author's work was a part of their core library and that the pull yourself up by your bootstraps practice is expected to be utilized by everyone. So one thing that she mentions is that, you know, maybe you come in and you're in a bad mood. They want you to do a clearing. Well, if your problem is like, I'm having trouble paying my student loans, they're literally just like, well, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, you'll make it through. And you're like, bitch, this is not helpful whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what else I know, but that's pretty much right. It's a lot of like, which is interesting that they have this pull yourself up by your bootstraps philosophy, but then also at the same time, they're very like, don't bring your negative energy into this space. Like very, what is the word? Ethereal, I would almost describe it. Like that's the kind of aura you're supposed to at least come in with.
Well, and even when you're there, the author describes a time when she was once spit on by a customer. She told her manager, and her manager was like, well, you're choosing to be upset. It's like, bitch, I just got spit on. You better be glad I didn't like assault somebody.
Right. Sounds like customer service to me.
And so another example was, I don't know if this was at her store or somewhere else, but she said, quote, another example was when a customer, quote, threatened he was going to shoot an educator, and they made us pay for our own security guard that night out of our controllable budget. What does that even mean?
I don't know. That's insane. They have to pay for their own. I have a lot more questions about that, but that's wild.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is essentially like you're not allowed to be upset about something. And if you are, then you have to handle it on your own, even if it's a personal safety issue. And we're going to force you to hire your own security because we think you're just overreacting. You're choosing to be upset by this.
It's so strange to think about all the people I know that have worked for Lululemon. And I can't imagine them meshing with that philosophy. So I guess it's a fake it till you make it kind of situation.
I guess there's that. And I also think when you're there, it probably feels very different. You know, like we're on the outside looking in, but maybe when you're working there. And also, I will say, I know this was, I'm pretty sure this person who wrote the article is in Canada.
I was going to say, I bet it's location based too. I'm sure, at least my experience, I've had worse experiences at busier locations, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And another, so there's just so many things in this article. Another thing they mention is a lot of hypocrisy that they saw. So one instance was when they hired an educator with Tourette's and told him, they were like, you know, this is a safe space. There's no judgment here, all of that. And then he later was fired for, quote, making guests uncomfortable.
Is that illegal?
In the article, they're like, isn't this illegal? But I guess, you know, companies can always say, oh, it wasn't for that. It was for this reason.
Well, it depends where it is, because in Texas, you can fire anyone for any reason.
Yeah, seriously.
You actually can. You don't have to provide a reason.
It's ridiculous.
You can just be like, it wasn't working out.
Well, but here's the thing. Even when they have to provide a reason, they can just say whatever the fuck they want. They can say like, oh, she was late some mornings and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I love capitalism, don't you?
Same. Another culty practice is how they expected their employees to market the company for them. So, you know, Lulu's whole thing, as I kind of mentioned in the beginning, the way the brand was conceived was that they wanted people, they wanted to be a hub for the community. So now what happens is Lulu wants their employees to go into the community, take yoga classes, go to gym classes, and they want them to endorse the brand and push it onto others.
Oh, want to hear something clutch though?
Yes.
So they give their employees a credit or debit card that has like a certain amount of money on it to go spend on workout classes.
Yes, they do. Quote, one of the benefits is that they'll reimburse you for two classes a week, but you're not on the clock. Once the company got sued for this, they couldn't explicitly order you to do it anymore, but you still know the expectation. You have to be, quote, in the community a lot if you want to move up.
Mm-hmm.
And they also cited a time when a girl was taking a class and she was in like a boot camp and straight up like got injured. And they were like, too bad. Sorry. Like, you're not going to get any sort of like pay. That's not our fault. You weren't technically on the clock with us.
Right. I know they also, so they open all their inventory at night. And so much so that my friends that were working there at the time would be at the mall until 2 a.m. opening boxes and then would have to show up at 9 a.m. for work.
I actually have a good friend. I'm not sure if he still works at Lululemon or not, but he did for many years. And I remember talking to him and he was like, yeah, I just got home and it was, you know, whatever time in the morning. It was ridiculous.
You know what I'm not working till 2 a.m. for? Lululemon. That is not a job that I'm that you get that much of my time.
No, like a minimum wage job. Absolutely not.
Under no circumstances. And with like okay benefits and also just and a toxic work culture.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about the benefits.
Okay, let's do
quote,
it.
Who the fuck can survive in the wealthy areas Lululemon puts their stores in on $12 an hour? Lulu loves the collective, but not enough to increase the base pay for an educator or have paid leave for new parents or 401ks. That's really the worst thing about Lululemon. They insist they care about you despite much evidence to the contrary. Lululemon tells you every single day, educators are the most important people in the company, while snacks, free yoga and free yoga classes and a clothing discount is great. They aren't benefits that matter, and that doesn't help people buy groceries or plan for retirement.
There's also a special discount for men only that are like your either family members or friends. I forget what it's called. Oh, I love you, man. I think that's what it's called.
Oh no.
And you can give it to men in your one man, maybe multiple men. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure the logistics, but I know that that's a discount that they can give to people. And
because
actually,
they want more guys wearing the products.
I assume that's why. And also I don't think they get rid of it if you quit, not if you quit. If I don't know, if you leave on good terms, I think you still retain it because someone that I worked with was talking about how they could give someone their I love you, man.
Oh, wow. I mean, I guess, yeah, if they're trying to really increase their male audience, that's remember, I said they don't do any marketing. It's all about like people doing the marketing for them.
I was going to say, I've never seen really in like a TV ad, at least for Lululemon.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like specifically back in the day, they did no marketing at all. Today, I think they might do a little bit, but it's still like their whole thing is just word of mouth and you know, really trying to reel people in.
I mean, I better see some ads. I just screamed the word Lululemon in front of my phone for the past 2 hours.
We've just been screaming Lululemon. If our phones aren't showing us, then they're just not creating the ads.
Right.
She goes on to describe how working up to 20 hours a week off the clock is a normal occurrence. So employees are never rewarded for this, but they'll be punished if they just go home and don't finish their work. So kind of what you were saying about, you know, your friends working overnight, there's no way they were getting paid for all of those hours. And so, you know, this is kind of the ideal employee, this person that will just do all of this. And so when describing the ideal employee, she says, quote, a person in leadership at Lululemon is relentlessly positive, willing to fully buy in without question, and super entrepreneurial. You need to work out constantly. If you don't, you're not a culture fit. The company is also extraordinarily white, which I could have told you.
I feel like you get better benefits at like McDonald's. McDonald's minimum wage is like $13. You could do better at McDonald's. I mean, granted, you may not be outfitted in Lululemon, have free workout classes, but you know, your work culture might at least be a little bit more interesting.
Right. This article is from Canada in 2015. So the fact that $12 an hour back then in another country, there's no way the people here in the United States are making that much.
Yeah.
Especially states in the South where minimum wage is still like $8 or whatever.
Isn't it $7.25?
I think it's gone up since then, but I have no idea. I live in New York now. Minimum wage is like $15. So I have no clue anymore.
But that's adjusted for cost of living.
It is, yeah.
But like if I'm pretty sure minimum wage is $7.25 or $7.50 in Texas. And living in Austin, cost of living is high. It is not like living in Waco.
Yeah, seriously. That's so true. So another problem with the benefits is they go on to say any queer employees who don't physically birth their children aren't entitled to maternity or paternity leave. If any leave is taken, it's unpaid. And they don't go on to say if this also goes for people that are straight who have kids through, you know, a surrogate or whatever. But I thought this was really disturbing.
Is that current or did they update that?
I don't know. I should have checked. But either way, I'm like, this is 2015.
Right. That wasn't that long ago.
No. Actually, this was written in July of 2015. So at that point, gay marriage was legal in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in June of 2015, I believe. So,
I mean, and especially in Canada, where I feel like we have this view of Canada as like the better version of us, or the more
they're so progressive,
the more progressive version of us, regardless if that's true or not. That's like at least the stereotype around it. So hearing an article about a work culture in Canada, even though it's obviously Lululemon's an international brand, or at least a Western brand. I'm not exactly sure if it's completely international, but hearing that is kind of shocking. I'm sure that was shocking in 2015 too, but I'm not exactly sure when this whole Canada is more progressive and better than us movement started, because it used to be like, fuck Canada. And now it's kind of like, can we all go to Canada?
It's so true. I think it happened maybe somewhere around 2016.
When the
hot guy
got elected. What's his name? The hot guy?
Justin Trudeau.
Thank you.
I was going to say more like when we got the Cheeto elected.
Oh.
Is when we all started saying, can we go to Canada?
Yeah.
So in the final paragraph, the author says, quote, still, there's no getting around the fact that the essential corporate strategy is basically to get people working and create this insane cult-like loyalty. And if anyone dissents, you just coach them out of their job. Nothing changes. No one acknowledges the hypocrisy or the legitimacy of employees' concerns. You have to stick to the party line.
Did you do any research on the conference that they send them to?
So this person actually, when they wrote this article, they had just come back from the conference like the weekend before. I think that's actually the next line of that quote that I was reading.
Did they talk about it?
They talked about it a little bit. They talked about like getting a bunch of books there and how everyone there, you're just supposed to be like, oh, we're fucking awesome. We're amazing. And I think they talked about Chip Wilson getting up and talking about Ayn Rand or something like that, but I can't quite remember. Do you have some insider deets?
I just hear it's like Scientology vibes. I can't remember what I read. It was a while ago, but I know something about they go to some retreat. There's some Scientology vibes, very much so. Like you said, like pull up your bootstraps, good vibes, but good vibes only. Like, don't you bring those negative vibes even close to here.
And yeah, it's so, yeah, it seems like everything that we've mentioned, but times like a million.
Right. There's a super, super aggressive drink the Kool-Aid vibe. You must get on board, which is the same thing about like clearing your energy before you come in or whatever, however you want to phrase that. I just know it's like you get on board or you're no longer going to work here.
Right. So in 2015, Chip Wilson continues to be problematic. I guess it's just in his bones. He can't go that long without saying some fucked up stuff. So
now he starts foaming at the mouth.
Seriously. So in an interview with New York Mag, he said, quote, I think that Lululemon was so successful was because I was probably the only straight guy that was making women's apparel. And I knew what a guy liked. Girls ended up wearing it and guys ended up commenting on
it. Ew, gross. That makes me not even want to wear Lululemon now, because it's like he's kind of weirdly sexualizing it, which I didn't even think about to begin with. That, of course, that's why he made tight pants. Wow, I'm having a moment over here.
A lot of people took this as him being like, I purposely made those pants sheer.
Talk about being horny on Maine.
No, seriously. I'm like, I don't know if that's true, but first of all, him saying he's the only straight guy that makes women's clothing. Okay, check yourself. There are plenty of them, I promise.
And you're absolutely not the first.
Not the first, not the last, not the only. And you're definitely not the straight guy making women's clothes that any woman would want to get with. I promise you that. So in December of 2017, a former employee sues Lulu for $3 million in damages for sexual assault, sexual harassment, violating fair employment laws, and creating a hostile work environment.
Wow.
So this section's going to be a little heavy, but I think it's really important. There's a great BuzzFeed News article by someone named Leticia Miranda, if that's how you say it. I apologize. But the survivor is named Shayla Famori. Again, I hope I'm saying your name correctly. But she was a sales associate for 2 years. And according to BuzzFeed News, Lulu, quote, knowingly promoted and relocated a manager who'd been the subject of complaints about inappropriate behavior to a new store where he harassed and sexually assaulted a subordinate. So the person in question, his name is Philip Sylvia, and he was essentially acting inappropriately at a store. I think he'd made some sexually inappropriate comments. There'd been some inappropriate behavior. So instead of actually doing something about the complaints, they moved him to Famori's location. And so, you know, of course, Lulu denied that they had any knowledge of his behavior before. But according to the suit, quote, her manager had received reports that Silva had been sexually inappropriate with other workers, but she didn't believe the events rose to the level of requiring any action. Well before Famori was assaulted, various managers had received complaints and or witnessed Silva engaging in sexually inappropriate behavior with his female subordinates. These incidents were viewed and or reported to Lululemon management, though no disciplinary action was ever taken.
So I'm confused. So when someone sexually harasses you at work, is it like a tally system? Are we just like, am I supposed to decide if I'm offended? Or is it like three strikes and you're out? What's the bar, apparently? Like, I would love to know what I'm supposed to be offended by and what I'm not supposed to be offended by. Someone, please tell me.
Apparently, it seems like you can be sexually inappropriate a couple of times at work. But don't worry, you won't get in trouble. They're just going to say, hey, instead of driving to this store, now you got to drive to this other store. Try not to be sexually inappropriate there. Good luck. Goodbye.
I mean, I have a hard time believing that someone who is brazen enough to sexually assault their employees probably has made weird comments to customers as well.
Yeah, that's totally true, especially at a fitness store where everything people are trying on is tight or, you know, like, ugh, yeah, that's right. Disgusting.
Or if someone asks for someone's opinion, I have a hard time believing this man did not chime in.
No, I totally agree. And so Silva immediately began to aggressively go after Famori. And, quote, he told her details about his sex life, including a recent sex party he'd attended, and aggressively pursued her, pressuring her to work out with him at his home, where he once massaged her legs and kissed her.
I am disgusted.
It gets much worse. So in April of 2016, Famori finally rejected him by saying she wasn't interested, and he responded by calling her fat and stupid and said, like, you know, good luck, you're never going to get an internship now. Which, first of all, you work at a fucking Lululemon. What kind of pull do you have around the town?
Also, like, joke's on you, they don't let us be fat here, so your insult didn't even land.
That honestly, that's true. So, okay. This is the worst part of this entire thing. So after they were at dinner when he called her fat and she rejected him, he called her fat and all this stuff. He like told her to stop eating. It was ridiculous. So upon dropping Silva off at his home, he begged her to come inside. And although she didn't want to, she felt pressured because he's her boss. And this is a quote from the article. As soon as they went inside the house, Silva began to kiss her neck and feel her up. According to the lawsuit, Famori told Silva to stop and tried to wriggle away, but he pinned her to his bed and began undressing himself. I really don't know if I want to say the rest of this.
You don't have to.
If I'm being completely honest.
You can just
I told you guys the article, but he rapes her, to say the least about it. And it's really disgusting. He says some horrible things to her. And let's not forget, this all happened because Lululemon couldn't just fucking fire someone who's sexually harassing people. Right. And they instead moved him to a new store where this woman had to go through this.
And like, especially, I think, putting it into perspective and being like, this woman needed her job. And so if the least she could do, she was like, I can sit through dinner. She's like, I can sit through dinner and that way I can keep my job, just like so I don't get fired. Because who knows what this guy's going to make up. And especially the kind of pool that he has, that they're just going to move him to another location. So,
and I think the whole other thing is their whole ideology is you are deciding if this is upsetting you. It's your choice whether you're upset or not. It's your choice whether something offends you or not. So even if, you know, she did go and say something about it, they'd probably just pull some of that bullshit of like, oh, well, you know, keep the negative energy out. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's disgusting. And
eventually, you know, it took her a while. But eventually she reported the incident to HR and they told her they weren't equipped to handle this kind of claim and asked her to resign instead.
I'm sorry. When HR says they're not, I'm sorry, the mic levels. HR isn't equipped. I thought that's the only thing they're equipped for is HR issues.
Isn't that your job?
It's the title. Human resources.
A human is coming at you to ask what they should do.
You had one job. I mean, that and payroll. You had two jobs. And damn, you know that. What? You fucked up the payroll too, since you were paying them $12 an hour.
Yeah, seriously. And apparently she came with like a counter offer. She was like, can I take like a leave of absence while you investigate it? And they were like, no, your only option is to resign. And like, you know, we'll give you essentially like a severance package with eligibility to be rehired at some point.
Starting to sound like Chip Wilson and Ellen DeGeneres, maybe friends.
Yeah. You take any time off, you're gone.
Exactly. They share business philosophy.
So, additionally, Fumori stated that the culture of the company made it the perfect environment for a sexual predator. So, quote, management encourages female employees to dress in tight clothes, work out with co-workers, accept hookups between bosses and subordinates as par for the course after a wild night of drinking, and look the other way when employees make lewd and sexualizing remarks.
Well, sounds about right from everything that we've talked about for the last hour. I mean, obviously it's surprising to hear that an employee should never under any circumstances feel even remotely pressured by their boss to have a sexual relationship with them of any kind. But that's absolutely insane.
Well, and I can't remember if it was this article or the anonymous Jezebel article, but one of them even mentioned like they bent down to get something and someone was like, well, that's the closest I'll ever get to her ass. And then everyone like laughed.
I know. And then you call HR and they're like, we're not equipped.
Literally. Yeah. So apparently employees took sexual harassment training as a joke and the training was practically non-existent and people would like run around smacking each other's asses as like, haha, sexual harassment training.
I literally cannot imagine showing up to work and all of this happening.
No, it sounds like mental health hell. Especially if this is your only job and maybe you don't have a lot of options. Maybe this is your first job and you need something on your resume so you can get out and go somewhere else. And you're having to stick around all of this and just deal with it. It's horrific.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So now we're in February of 2018 and CEO Laurent Potavin resigned as CEO, citing that he, quote, fell short of standards of conduct.
Lululemon CEO Laurent Potavin has resigned effective immediately, with the retailer saying he had fallen short of their standards of conduct. CNBC reports the company's board of directors has already started looking for a new global CEO. He will also be removed from the board. Glenn Murphy, executive chairman of the board, said in a statement thanking Potavin for his work, but added, it is the responsibility of leaders to set the right tone in our organization.
So we don't actually ever get any full clarity about why he resigned, but an anonymous female came forward to CNBC and said that she was a previous designer for the brand and that from 2014 through 2018, she had an inappropriate relationship with him. And that's really all we have. We don't know if this is a higher up pressuring a subordinate into a relationship, if they both consented to the relationship. All we know is that both of them, or that this designer was in some sort of sexual relationship with Potavin from 2014 to 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, she resigned once they started going out, but they eventually brought her back to work on discrete projects mm-hmm. as like a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And then in January of 2018, they just didn't renew her contract. So if I'm going to speculate, here's speculation corner. So this all comes out in February of 2018, right? If they didn't renew her contract in January of 2018, and then this came out a month later, it makes me think like some shit went down. And that's why she came out with her story and probably why he resigned.
Or she presented terms and was like, he needs to resign or you need to fire him or I'm going to do this. And they were like, we pick him.
Yeah, right. Seriously. And other employees came forward and stated that he built a toxic work environment and that he had a negative impact on the company culture. And so, I mean, that's kind of all we know. All we know is that he had a relationship with this designer and he garnered a toxic company culture. But that's kind of it. I mean, other than that, I'm sure there's tons of NDAs like all over this about things people can't say. But we do know that when he left, he got a $5 million payout upon departure.
Of course he did.
Despite whatever unethical behavior happened, he got $5 million upon leaving.
I'm a little surprised, and this is not to say women can be just as toxic as men are, but I'm a little surprised that Lululemon, that is so, well, their target demographic, at least the majority of their targeted demographic is women, and they get a lot of repeat customers from women. So why not? And if you're having all these HR issues have to do with men sexually harassing women instead of like women sexually harassing men, which does happen, why not hire a female CEO after Chip left?
Well, okay, so when Padovan took over CEO, he actually replaced a woman.
Oh.
I said her name earlier. I can't remember it. I didn't see much about her. But to me, when they brought Laurent Padovan on, what they should have done is like completely done a whole
structural
flip of, yeah, they should have just cleared out all the bad eggs, because apparently Padovan was, when he was working at Tom's, when he was president of Tom's, they have like great benefits for their employees and all of this stuff. And in that anonymous article, the person even says like, how are you not seeing that the benefits here aren't up to par with what you were doing at your last company? Like, why can't you implement that? So well, I feel like there's so many missed opportunities for them.
Well, just because he was CEO and they had those benefits does not mean he was the one that implemented them either.
Very true.
Or came Very up with true. Them.
I think more what I'm thinking is they should have just completely not got Padovan. They should have got somebody that was going to actually make the company better, especially when they finally got rid of Chip completely. They should have said, this is our chance to flip the switch, and they didn't.
Yeah, I agree.
So in April of 2020, that was during the pandemic. Can you believe it? Now it's September.
That was in April?
April.
Oh, I didn't realize it was so recent.
No. What I'm about to say was in April.
Oh, I was like, wow.
No. That was February of 2018. Now, we're in April of 2020, and the art director of Lululemon, Trevor Fleming, helped promote a racist t-shirt design. So you can look it up. Just look up Trevor Fleming Lululemon t-shirt or okay. racist t-shirt. So to describe it to the viewers, the shirt is an outline of a Chinese takeout box and it has bat wings coming out of the top of it. And the words no thank you are down the sleeve. And the t-shirt is called the Bat Fried Rice t-shirt. So
I'm sorry, clear, I'm literally speechless. I'm looking at this and do you know how many people had to approve this too? You can't just make a shirt and it just pop up in the store.
Well, no. So the art director promoted this shirt. So this is the tea. This was not a shirt for Lululemon, but so apparently the art director of Lululemon had a friend who made this shirt and he like posted it on his story and put the link in his bio. And actually, when the designer posted the shirt, he tagged Trevor Fleming. So a lot of people think that he really did have a hand in the design. Also, guys, let me just read you the caption. So they post the picture of this shirt and it says, the Instagram caption says, where did COVID-19 originate? No one is certain, but we know a bat was involved. This quarantine offers a friendly reminder to avoid foods containing this nocturnal beast. And then it says like hashtag quarantine, like in all this other bullshit.
Okay.
Who said this was a good idea?
Well, two things. I can't, I wish I could describe the feeling that I was having, the aneurysm I almost had thinking that someone that Lululemon posted this on their Instagram account.
I
fell out of my seat. And then the balls to put that on your Instagram story, to make that, to sit down, make this t-shirt, think it's a good idea, wrote the caption, read over the caption probably a couple times, and then posted this, and didn't once think, yeah, this is pretty racist and evil.
Not only racist, I mean, definitely racist and evil, but not only that, we were in the middle of a pandemic where people were attacking Asian Americans like every day. There was a lot of horrible things happening to Asian Americans because, you know, they were being blamed for COVID-19, and the president was calling it the Chinese virus and the Wuhan virus and all of those things. So there was like so much already happening. And then they're like, let's be racist and tone deaf as fuck and post this on our Instagrams and hope people buy them.
Also, $60. Okay. For your like fraternity t-shirt. All right, I'm out.
I'm pretty sure this is random. I was just on Miley Cyrus's website. I'm pretty sure Miley has t-shirts. She does have like special ones that are like $100, but I think you can get a shirt also for just like $30. Oh, and this dude's selling them for $60.
Also exposing myself, I was on Lady Gaga's VMA merch website today, and her t-shirts were less than $60.
Ooh, I need to go look at those. Were they cute?
Yeah, they were. No, seriously, go look at them.
Okay, I will. So according to Lululemon, they fired Fleming after customers began flooding Lululemon's Instagram comments. Like, do you employ racists? You know, like everyone popped off and started commenting on every photo they had on Instagram.
I'm sure the Instagram account Diet Prada got their hands on it, too. They always break the fashion drama news.
True, but then they post.
Yeah, that was really bad. I saw that this week.
That was really bad. They posted that picture of Melania dressed as like a fake edited photo of her as Hitler. And I'm like, that is so anti-Semitic. I can't even deal with it right now. Anyway, Diet Prada is canceled.
Oh, God. Who isn't canceled?
True. So they fired Fleming after customers, you know, gave them backlash. And Fleming later made a statement where he claimed to have like had nothing to do with the design. And it was just, you know, he was like, I'm sorry, I was just promoting a friend. I always try to promote friends and families. It's like, well, if you really support your friends, why don't you tell them when they're posting racist ass bullshit?
Right. Like, this post didn't bother you at all. You actually wanted to share it with others.
Yeah, seriously.
You liked it so much, you wanted to share it with everyone that follows you.
Yeah, like literally, yeah, seriously. So, as of June 2020, Chip Wilson remains the largest individual shareholder of Lululemon stock, despite no longer holding any positions at the company. And Forbes estimates his total fortune at $5.2 billion.
So this is interesting that all of this is going on, because about a year ago, I don't know if you remember this, Outdoor Voices released like a branch off of their brand called The Recreationalist. And it's a blog, like a blog space. And I think they also do sell like hats or something like that. And their big feature story was Ty Haney, which is the owner of Outdoor Voices, was doing an interview with I'm pretty sure it was Chip. It could have been the CEO at the time, but I remember that
was pretty, like, the new CEO.
Right. But I remember it being pretty huge news, because Lululemon has kind of always been seen as, I don't know, the upper echelon, but almost as like the snooty rich older, I don't even know if sister is the right word.
In for me, it's always like, you know, the moms that are going, like the suburban stay-at-home moms are always in like head-to-toe Lulu.
Okay, you did a much better analogy than I did. Yes, and they drive a Chevy Tahoe.
Yes. Or they're in a Tahoe. They pack all the kids in. They're picking them up from daycare and they're like head to toe Lululemon.
Right. And they've got soccer practice in an hour. And then while they go to their tennis lesson.
Yeah, seriously. And so that's kind of it. I did have a little blurb at the end where I found alternative brands you could shop if you decide that you don't want to support Lululemon anymore. I found these.
It was Chip Wilson. I just looked it up. She did interview him. That's kind of wild, right? This was recently.
That is really recent. And I hate that a lot. I really don't.
Sorry, I had to find out.
No, it's okay. I wanted to talk about, so I found this website called goodonyou.eco, And it's about, you can look up any brand that you shop and it tells you how ethical they are in versions of environmental impact, labor conditions, animal welfare. And then they give like an overall rating of, you know, how ethical are they? So this isn't necessarily any of the stuff like Chip Wilson did or anything like that. But they kind of gave Lululemon an overall score of not good enough for being ethical. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just wanted to plug some of the other brands. If you're looking for, so the brands are Boody, B-O-O-D-Y, Girlfriend Collective, Organics Basics, and L. Evans. So I really liked L. Evans and Girlfriend Collective. I don't know if anyone shops any of these, but if after hearing all of this, you guys never want to buy another Lululemon pair of leggings with pockets on the side, there, I just kind of thought, oh, it might be nice to give everyone a little new option.
For sure.
Okay, so Elise, what do you think after hearing all of that? Do you think you could continue to stand? You can't stand them any no more? What are you sort of thinking?
So I never really stand Lululemon to begin with. I'm not even going to front. I got all my stuff, I'm pretty sure, either on sale or with a gift card kind of situation, because I do think it's a little ungodly overpriced. And then I also really flex the system. So they have a lifelong policy. So I'm constantly bringing stuff back that is like pilled or is ripped or anything, and they'll replace it for you. So I'm getting new items at free of charge. And I'm sure Lululemon's going to find this, put me on a blacklist, because they do. I'm pretty sure they do that too. I actually do know that. And I'm going to be on a blacklist for telling people this. So I imagine
you, you know, on Always Sunny, when Sweet D is pretending like she has her son still, even though she like gave it up to another family. Uh-huh. And the IRS lady shows up and she's like, hi, you know, we're coming to investigate, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm not scamming. And she's sitting on her Vespa and she goes, your license plate says scamming. I imagine you rolling up to Lululemon, like holding a pile of leggings, and they're like, and you're like, I'm not scamming.
I'm not scamming. No, so I am not a super big fan of Lululemon. I have some of their clothes and I'm not going to front like I'm going to throw them away, because I'm definitely not going to throw away my $120 leggings.
Oh, no.
But I think you should spend your money elsewhere for just as good workout clothes. You could get just as good workout clothes from Target, if we're being completely honest.
Yeah, I think my big issue is, even though some people could argue the people that we mentioned don't work there anymore, it still doesn't seem like they've taken any steps towards doing a full, like, let's make our company not shitty anymore. So I'm going to say I don't stan. I'm kind of the same way. I think I have like one pair of leggings, a pair of shorts that were both given to me as gifts. I don't think I've ever spent my own money at Lulu before. Maybe in high school, I bought like a headband so I could pretend like.
I did the same thing. And those headbands do not stay on.
No. And they get so stretched out. Even if you throw them in the dryer, they suck so bad. So I'm going to say continue to not stan. And you know what? I'm going to take Elise's idea, and my leggings that are pilling, I'm just going to take them in and be like, new leggings, please.
Well, here's the real tip. You got to go to a location that's not as busy. So you got to go to a location where either all the locals are, but not like a downtown location. So I don't know how that would work in New York, because everywhere.
They're all downtown.
Exactly.
High traffic locations.
New York is, everything is a high, or every area is a high traffic location, like you said.
Maybe one weekend when I'm in New Jersey or something.
Oh, Jersey would be the place to go. Yes.
Yeah, but like, that's the place to be.
But a deserted one or a low traffic Jersey Lululemon location.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you guys for listening in to another episode. We're really excited to talk to you guys next week. Elise, do you want to reveal or keep a secret?
I think for your topic next week. I think this one a secret for next week.
Okay, so you guys are going to have to tune in to find out what it is. Please, please, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really, really helps us out on this end, or, you know, wherever you get your podcast. Rate, review, subscribe.
Also, go ahead and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Podlomatic, so you can get in touch with us and, you know, see the updates on the posts.
Please do. We post memes. It's really fun out there. We have fun. It's not all boring.
Right. We're producing content for you guys. Don't worry.
See you guys next week.
Bye.